Myth number two, a great relationship demands a great romance. I bet you're asking yourself, this is a myth? How can this be? Didn't this guy just tell me I should get what I deserve, which includes great love and romance? How can it be a myth to want romance? Believe me, your life with your partner should include plenty of romance. Just don't expect unrealistic Hollywood romance. There are many times when you and your partner need to make an effort to be romantic, to go out on real dates like you did when you first met, to fill your life with candlelight dinners and weekends away from the kids. But don't kid yourself. As jarring as this sounds, the truth is that being in love is not like falling in love. So many times I have listened to people in relationships say, "Well, Dr. McGraw, I just don't feel like I'm in love anymore." They tell me the spark is gone in their relationship. After I question them for a while, I start to understand what the person is really saying. They're saying, "I don't feel the way I did when I was first falling in love." What this person is genuinely missing is that dizzy feeling of infatuation that takes place at the very start of the relationship. Just because feelings change doesn't mean that those feelings have to be less rewarding. Isn't it possible that there are a number of emotions and ways of experiencing them that, though different, are all equally rewarding? What once was dizzying and exciting, and thus very positive, can very well become deep and secure, which is also very positive. Emotions change, but that doesn't mean that they are less intense or less meaningful than the tingling excitement of the early days. Great romance can be caring and checking on where your partner is if it's getting a little late. Great romance can be as simple as sharing the newspaper in the morning, sharing a biggie fry at the Burger Doodle, and making love a couple of times a week, even though neither one of you would be caught dead in a thong. Great relationships and great romance, it's all in the yardstick that you use to measure. It's all in defining what great means in the real world. Myth number three, a great relationship requires great problem solving. Let's say you and your partner have scheduled a counseling session to discuss the fact that the two of you have been fighting over certain issues and none of them are getting resolved. Dr. Expert tells you that you and your partner must learn conflict resolution and problem-solving skills. He says that you need to develop these skills so that the two of you can calmly reach common ground. The message you'll get in that office will be very clear. If you and your partner can't learn to solve your differences, you won't have a good relationship because it will be riddled with conflict and confrontation. Wrong. That's completely naive and fanciful thinking. The myth that so many fall for is that couples can't be happy if they can't resolve their serious disagreements. In the 25 years that I have been working in the field of human behavior, I have seen few, if any, genuine relation conflicts ever get resolved. I know that sounds strange, but I'm telling you, it's true. Some simple, everyday no-brainers get resolved, but most of the key issues that create real conflict within a relationship never get resolved. Reflect back on your relationship, and I'll bet you have to agree with what I'm saying, even though it differs from what relationship experts tell you. There are things that you and your partner disagree about, have always disagreed about, and will always disagree about. Maybe the disagreement is about sex, the way to raise or discipline the children, how to allocate money, how to show affection. Whatever your particular subject matter is, I will guarantee you that you now and forever will have certain basic issues over which you disagree. You will not resolve them because they cannot be resolved without one of you sacrificing your true beliefs or breaking from your core of consciousness. Some couples, because they cannot agree on a core issue, interpret that lack of agreement as a purely personal rejection, and they stay bent out of shape about it forevermore. Because they are believing the myth that they should be great problem solvers to have a happy marriage, they carry that emotional pain forward and may well start telling themselves that there's something wrong with their relationship. A relationship which, in fact, is just fine. Other couples, healthier couples in my opinion, simply agree to disagree. They don't let the arguments get too personal, nor do they resort to insults or counterattacks because they feel so frustrated. Realistic partners achieve what psychologists call emotional closure. They don't achieve closure on the issue, but they do achieve closure on the emotions. They give themselves permission to disagree without having to declare that one party is right and the other party is wrong. They eventually relax and go on with their lives. They decide to reconnect at a feeling level rather than disconnecting at an issue level. We will talk more about this ability to place the relationship above the conflict later, but suffice it to say that efforts to reconnect give you a much more rewarding outcome than vainly trying to lead a life together devoid of conflict.